Join us as we open the Word of God to get more deeply grounded and learn about the abundant life available to all through our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Thank you, praise team, for coming out this evening and preparing this music for those who will be watching later. And I really wish that I was sharing this message with the congregation seated out there in their pews rather than in their living rooms. But because of weather, this is how it's going to be. So as I begin here, let's just imagine ourselves being here in this sanctuary together. So if you're at home, you can do this as well. But I can ask you to raise your hand if you've ever had a broken bone. How about stitches? How about more than 30 stitches? Ever had surgery? Ever had a knife wound in the kitchen? Ever had a knife wound behind the bowling alley? Ever have a gunshot wound? Ever wounded in battle? Well, I hope you didn't have to raise your hand many times. Today we're going to consider healing of inner hurts, not the external ones that everyone sees. They could see our cast or our bandage and know that we had a wound, but the ones on the inside they cannot see, but they're just as real. In 1 Peter 4, Peter talks about suffering and how we can find healing. Hidden wounds. I'm talking about hurtful memories like rejection, abandonment, betrayal, or unfaithfulness. Maybe the feeling that we really don't matter. Insecurity, feeling ugly physically or spiritually. A person might outwardly look very beautiful and seemingly have it all together, but on the inside, they have these ugly wounds that continually fester. Where do we get internal wounds? Everywhere. Just living life. We can get them from culture that we find discriminates against them or is unjust. Maybe in college, our faith was mocked by an atheist professor. From our family, that's probably the most common place we get those internal wounds. Maybe a friend betrayed you, or perhaps your boss at work is so demanding. As a pastor, over the years, I've talked to many folks that have hidden wounds. Their wound might differ from other people, but many of us, maybe most of us, carry some kind of inner pain. The passage in 1 Peter 4 offers four keys that I want to share with you tonight on healing our inner hurts. I'm going to read 1 Peter 4, 1 to 3, and then 8 through 10. Since, therefore, Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. The time that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. And then in verse 8 through 10, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. So here's the first of the four keys. Forgive the offender. We see that in verse 1. Jesus knows what it's like to be hurt. It says he suffered in the flesh, certainly on the cross. His physical wounds, like the crown of thorns, the nails through his hands and feet, the flogging he underwent, the spear thrust through his side. But Jesus also had inner wounds. He was mocked, unjustly treated during his trials, rejected by the Jewish people, his people. And it takes a lot longer to get over those wounds than physical wounds. While on the cross, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them." Luke 23:34. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Hebrews 4:15. "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." That verse is saying Jesus understands your pain. He's been there, done that. He can relate. He can empathize with you. He can sympathize with you. He knows what it's like to be maligned, mistreated, rejected, hated. Verse 1 also says, "Arm yourselves with the same way of thinking." What was Jesus' way of thinking? To forgive them. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy his enemies, but he loved them. He forgave them and died for them. And so it's saying, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. Think like Jesus thought, and that is to forgive. But you might be thinking, there's no way I'm forgiving them. I don't want to forgive them. They really hurt me. They never apologized. I get it. It is tough. You may not want to forgive, but you must. Matthew 6:14-15. This is Jesus. "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Why must I forgive? Letter A, because God's forgiven you. You'll never forgive more than you've been forgiven. Jesus tells this story at the end of Matthew 18. "Then his master summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?' And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." Your debt to God is greater than what anyone could ever do to you. Letter B, you'll need forgiveness in the future. When we don't forgive, we burn the bridge we will someday need to cross. A man told John Wesley, "I could never forgive that man." He said, "Then you had better never sin." Matthew 6:12, in the prayer that Jesus taught us, "And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." Letter C, you'll never stop hurting until you forgive. It's the only way to be released from your hurt. Do it for your sake, not even their sake, because they may never know. Hebrews 12:15. "See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled." Resentment, unforgiveness is like a poison in you that hurts you more. You're allowing them to live rent-free in your head. The other person has forgotten and moved on. It's like picking up hot coals in your hand. It burns your hand, not theirs. Job 18:4 in the Good News Bible, "You're only hurting yourself with your anger." So step one is to forgive the offender. Step two, live for God's will. We see that in verse 2. "So as to live for the will of God." Get your focus off your hurt and put it on God and His will. No longer is in that verse. In other words, stop staying stuck. Today it changes, and for the rest of my life. It no longer matters what happened in the past. It's a new day. I'm going a new direction. I'm focused on God and His will. This requires a mental shift in us, a change in thinking. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. I see that it's a choice, a decision that I have to make. Now, I still will feel sad when I think about it. That's called mourning or grieving. Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn. There is a difference between mourning and moaning. Mourning says, I'm sad this happened to me. Moaning says, I'll never get over it. And I'm going to make myself and everyone else miserable. That's a choice. I choose to keep the hurt or not. But sometimes we get stuck in our pain and we can't get on with the present or future. How do I get unstuck? Focus on the healer, not the hurt. God wants to heal you. In fact, the Bible says it's God who heals you. Exodus 15:26. If you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God and do that which is right in His eyes and give ear to His commandments and keep all His statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your healer. That's the name of God. God brings good out of bad. We see that in Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for the good, for those who are called according to His purpose. That's God's nature. He's in the healing business. How does He do it? How does He turn a negative into a positive? Well, when you take a negative sign, a minus sign, and make a plus sign, what does that create? A cross. He does it through the cross of Jesus. Another way to see it is that cross looks like a small T, which stands for trust. You trust God. You forgive, then you trust God. You trust God to settle the score. Romans 12:18 to 21. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Trust God to make it right. Trust God to balance the books. 1 Peter 2:23, we see Jesus did that. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. I think the problem is we forget God sees and knows everything we go through. We forget He remembers all our hurts. I think we hold on to them because we think somebody's got to remember this. Somebody's got to remember how bad this was, how badly I was treated. We think if we don't remember, they're going to get off scot-free. No, they don't. God remembers. Psalm 56:8. You have kept count of my tossings. Put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? That verse is saying that God has a record of every tear you've cried, even the ones you couldn't cry, the ones you kept bottled up inside. He knows. He cares. Your pain matters to Him. He feels it. He wants to help you. Stop rehearsing the pain. God will remember it for you. Let him settle the score in his time and way. If you forgive and trust God to settle the score, what happens to you? I think Romans 15:13 gives us some idea. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. The benefits to you are hope and joy and peace. Would you rather be filled with them or with misery, resentment, and bitterness? What's our third step for healing inner hurts? Face the future. We see that in verse 3. Let me bring in another passage. Job 11, 13 through 16. If you prepare your heart, you will stretch out your hands toward him. If iniquity is still in your hand, put it far away. And let not injustice dwell in your tents. Surely then you will lift up your face without blemish, and you will be secure and will not fear. You will forget your misery. You will remember it as waters that have passed away. Painful memories will eventually fade and not torment you. You put your heart right by forgiving the offender, then trust God to make it right, then face the future with confidence. You will be secure and not fearful. Courage isn't the absence of fear. It's facing your fears and moving ahead anyway. I say to you this morning, move ahead. Stop living in the past, in denial, pretending it doesn't hurt. Stop trying to fake it till you make it. Deal with it and move on. Don't keep reliving the pain in your mind over and over again. Move past it. Move forward. You will forget your misery. By focusing on the future, the past tends to fade away. I find it hard to focus on two things at the same time. So the key to forgetting is refocusing. You get rid of painful memories by thinking on good things instead. Philippians 4:8 tells us, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Really, there's a lot of good things that we can think about. But what if the future scares you? Tell God. Pray. Cry out to him. Be honest with him. Tell him you're angry or bitter or depressed. Pour out your heart to God. It's cathartic. It's healing. Psalm 62:8. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. But I think many people try to fix themselves rather than pray to God. When the painful memory surfaces, they get drunk or pop a pill. And the world offers cheap, temporary painkillers. But only God heals. How do you spell relief? I spell it J-E-S-U-S. The painkillers that the world offers don't last. And they can become addicting. And they never really solve your problem. You get drunk or get high, it's a temporary fix. When you're sober, your problem is still there. Or maybe you're lonely and you have a one-night stand, but you're even lonelier when they leave. See, these things don't work. Verse 3, Peter mentions a bunch of those quick fixes. Sensuality, passions, drunkenness, lawless idolatry. They're fun while they last, but they only mask the pain, not remove it. Face your future. Focus on God. Forgive your offender. And the fourth step, join a group. We see that in verses 8 to 10. You will never fully recover alone because you're not meant to go it alone in the world. God made Eve so Adam wouldn't be alone. We need others. You're not meant to be a lone ranger. Find someone to share with. Hidden hurts heal quicker in the company of others. That's been the secret to AA, Alcoholics Anonymous. We see that in these verses. Keep loving one another, for love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality. Use your gifts to serve one another. There's tremendous healing power in love, because love casts out fear. Love covers guilt. When I'm filled with love, it pushes the sins out of me. God is love. So when I fill my life with God, I'm filled with love. Why do I need others? Ecclesiastes 4:9 says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. We're stronger when we're connected with someone else. And the best place to find supportive relationships is the church. I'm convinced of it, that God has made the church to be a family of supportive relationships. Hebrews 10:25. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Another version says, don't neglect to meet together. Why? So we can judge each other or hear a boring sermon that makes us feel guilty? No, we meet together to encourage one another. Life is tough. The world is hard. We need a safe, encouraging space to help us get through life. And we can encourage each other in many ways. The worship gathering, Sunday school classes, life groups, men and women's groups, the launch and youth, and fellowship groups that we're going to be telling you about. Even children's ministry is a great place for kids to learn to help one another. And if you get sick, someone will visit you and bring you a meal and pray for you. We can encourage each other in ministry. Get involved. What's your passion? Others share that same passion. Plug in, serve others. Food ministry is always an area where we can use help. Give it a try. 59 times in the New Testament, we find the phrase one another. Love one another. Care for one another. Greet one another. Help one another. 59 times. The church is a family. It's not just a place to walk in and walk out. It's a place to be connected. And it's a place where God can use your pain to help someone else. 2 Corinthians 1:4. Who comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. That's really a great feeling to know that your pain that you experience and God has helped you overcome, that you can share that ministry with others to help them overcome too. So my prayer for you is your hidden wounds will be healed and you'll be able to move forward. Come to Jesus today. He said in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Let him give you rest today. Don't suffer in silence. Find someone to share with. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, I pray for anyone hearing this message, that if they're in a place of inner hurt, deep inner wounds, that you are healing them, Lord. That process that they can go through to be whole, that their brokenness would be made complete and they would be well inwardly and outwardly. Lord, do what only you can do inside of us. We know that you're a God of mercy and compassion. Express that, Lord, I pray, on our people, especially those who are crying out to you right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening today. I hope this helped you experience Jesus more deeply.